This lecture, or whatever you want to call it, that I do yearly is always our first point of business. And to me, it's a very serious session. The fact is, I consider it the most important meeting we have all year. So just settle yourself down here and listen carefully and concentrate on what I say to you. I want you to know that I don't mean it to be oratory or an eloquent speech or anything of that sort. It's just how I feel and how we operate. And I mean everything I say to you. Veterans here have heard this five times, or certain parts of it, before. I've had some pretty good football players who listened to it for more than 20 times. Lou Groza, for example. Makes no difference how long you've heard it. I want you to become better saturated and ingrained with it each successive succeeding year. Now, at the beginning, I want you to know that we're more than competitive. When we started out, I made the statement publicly that I wanted us to be competitive in 5 years. And I think we proved that last year. Nobody takes us lightly. We're considered a factor in this race. Now, the next objective in our development has to be something one way or another, and I can tell you how I feel about it. I want to win something. I'd like to win something big. I'm not just talking about getting there to have a shot at it. We can play anybody. We've had our giveaways and our fumbles and our mental lapses and the crucial last-minute failures. We've been through that. And I no longer accept it. We can play and, as I said, win from any team in this game. We're shooting for the big prize. These are the terms I'm thinking of and in, and I'm not really going to be happy or accept anything less. We have these capabilities. Now, talk about the coaches, the men you work for. I have selected them myself. They're my friends, partners. They represent different backgrounds of football. I think they're relatively young and knowledgeable, and they demand things. They're enthusiastic. You work for them just as you work for me. Day after day in our staff meetings, we're going to be talking about you. That's our total topic of conversation when we're in session, talking about you. Your strengths or your weaknesses, your effort. We spend hours in that little office adjoining my bedroom, and you are the total topic of conversation. Your abilities, your whether you can make it, and how well you're doing. I want you to know that I respect their judgment, and they're just the same to you as I am. Everything they know, I'll know. You know it now. There's this about it. As a staff, they'll point things out to you, your errors, your mistakes, different ways, it'd be verbally, motion pictures. You're welcome to see the statistical study. It'll be pointed out to you. Their criticisms will be constructive. And when we happen to single you out, once in a while I say something to you in an open meeting like this, it's done to hurt your feelings. I don't want you to start feeling sorry for yourself. Just be a man about your errors. Do something about it. If you make a boo-boo, you're sorry about it. We all are. It hurts us all. And if you take that kind of a position, I'll try not to make the same error again. And instead of going inside and reaching for something to give yourself an excuse, all we're trying to do is make you better, so we might have a chance to win it. Coaches won't be swearing at you. We're not the shouting, haranguing type. Treat you high class, but they aren't really working for a popularity contest either. Your respect we want. Other than that, we want to make sense to you. But don't misconstrue this type of a relationship as weakness. There's got to be mutual respect. And one last thing. When the game plan is finalized, everybody goes all out with it. Coaches, players, everybody. I make a point of trying to keep abreast of the offensive and defensive game plans. Don't be saying after the game that I would personally would have had them do this, but they preferred to do that. That doesn't do anybody any good. The game plan, once it's crystallized, we go with all the way and we act like men about it. Besides being disloyal with this kind of an approach, I also know you can't win with that kind of an approach, and that's the thing that really bothers me most. You have to be in the spirit of the final decisions. I want to emphasize to particularly our new men that this is not college football. You're trying to make a pro team, and the responsibility for doing so rests squarely with you. It's honest, but I must say this to you, it takes a lot of man, really. Rookies are treated just like veterans here. There's no hazing, no differentiation whatsoever. A lot of our rookies are married men trying to make a living the same as the veterans. In a nutshell, it's just all out open competition to be one of the people to make it, 40, man to man. There's no sugarcoating or pampering of some spoiled college star in his mind. Pros here, the real pros, couldn't stand that kind of thing. It nauseates them, and beyond that, it's not my nature. And I might add that whenever you have a spoiled problem player, my experience has been just almost without exception, he's not very bright. That's where the trouble comes, from that type of person. But whether you're a veteran or a man fresh out of college, how big a name you might think you have, it just doesn't mean much when you get into football and pro football. You aren't going to impress anybody by how big you talk or how flashy you dress or how big a car you drive or what kind of a contract you think you have or anything that might tend to fill you with yourself. The only thing that's going to count here is going to be the dedication, the performance on the field. No one's going to be exhorting you, pushing you. It comes from within you. You're running your own gas. As a starting principle, I want to be sure that you understand thoroughly that there's no room here for anything that smacks of the social or political struggles that are a part of our world today. We're not a springboard for anything of this type. The football team is people. It's a delicate mechanism. Feelings and respect for your teammates, for your organization, are vital. I really don't care what your political beliefs might be. Fortunately, this is not a year of politics, so at least it probably shouldn't be. Probably won't be much of an issue. But even if it were, I don't want you bringing it into our football, into our locker room, into our sessions when you're socializing. No political or social arguments are going to be tolerated. For the period of less than 5 months, just think of this, everything you do here, everything you get paid, everything that takes place, transpires really in less than 5 months, which isn't much of a length of time in your lifetime. Is everything that you do for that period is out. I mean, don't give us any of this social stuff. Frankly, I don't care whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or a socialist. Shucks, you can be a communist, I guess. White or black or yellow or Catholic, or Protestant, Jew, or Irish or Italian or German, whatever else it can be. Just don't bring this into our football. I'm telling you. Don't let people or groups use you. A lot of the time, that's what their interest is. Teams that have this kind of strife simply don't win. Then everybody suffers. But the people who suffer the most are you, the players, because it eventually reflects in your salaries. The more successful we are on the field as a team dictates the general salary level. If we win a divisional championship, it helps everybody's salary level. You know as well as I do, if you go to a Super Bowl, that you all are going to gain by it. There are no quotas here. I couldn't tell you how much of this or that we got on this football team. I've never really bothered to think about it. So help me God, I've never checked. I don't really know. And couldn't care less. We're going to find the best 40 football players we got. We've got to be in the spirit of our football. We certainly don't want anybody getting to think as a group or a block. If you have a grievance, come to see me. Just rap on the door, or as we walk off the field in the morning, just say, could I see you for a few minutes? Come over to the, some of you have done this. You're welcome to do it. I will see you at any time. You all know the kinds of strife that are in the world today, and we just aren't going to have it here. It's very easy to find a grievance or be sour or no fun to be around. But I can tell you this, when you're like this, people dislike being around you. You're painful to be around. They won't like you. You won't be successful in life if you're this way. You earn your respect by the way you conduct yourself. Words won't do it. The money each of you makes here in this less than 5 months puts you all in what is known as an affluent status. You're wealthy by national standards. What's your pay? You're successful people. And I say to you, don't make any apologies for being successful. It's commendable. Handle your affluence, however, with some good sense. I really think that how you handle your money as a player reflects and is indicative of the kind of person you are. Invariably, the guy that can't handle his money is of low intelligence. It's the same old story. A show of quick wealth doesn't say much for you mentally. Smart ones just don't blow it that way. Don't go around expecting something for nothing just because you're a football player. I'm talking about that guy that expects a special deal or a discount on everything he buys because he's a pro player. People size you up. If they do nice things for you, that's beside the point. But I'm talking about that guy that's really a pathetic person that always wants something for nothing because he's an athlete. And if you get anybody trying to talk you into some business deal, investing your money, the league provides a service of checking this person out. You're welcome to this service. And I'd suggest that you use it. I can name one guy in this room. I think it's grateful for it. It's something to help you so you don't get hooked up with some two-bit hustler that's trying to get you and your money and fleece you. I don't want to get involved with the kind of words that gets bandied about these days with all the strife and unhappiness that we have. I'm on a board of trustees at a university, and I think I probably get these words from some of these peoples quicker than most people. It just isn't going to be part of our football. And I'm talking about, you know, the words making rhetoric and relating to and communicating with and making dialogue with. The last two or three, everybody's talking about input this and input that, or ad hoc committee, or opt this or opt that. Every time I go over, we get another couple of these fancy things. Then the next thing we know, people in the general public, I see it come out then and see the people in the public using the same gal-darn things. It goes in little cycles. You're grown up, and you're intelligent. Your input is to be put on the field of play. If there are any words that I personally believe in, it comes under the category of the eternal verities. Used to be an old gentleman in Cleveland named Ralph Hunter. Vince, some of the fellows here knew him. He was really some man. And he used to talk about the eternal verities, the everlasting truths, how you could never whip them, you never lick them. I'm talking about just things like honesty, loyalty, hard work, dedication, your character. You can't lick it. You are what these things are, and I must say they By way of him, I've learned to be impressed by it. And at my stage of life, I just have to say that as far as I'm concerned, they're what really count. Well, so much for that. At this point, I think I'll talk to you a little bit about how I feel about football. I came back into it 5 years ago because I really liked the life, I enjoyed it, the game fascinated me. It wasn't for financial reasons. I had to invest a chunk of money with along with the other investors to get a franchise. It was a gamble. But as I've said to you, each year nobody's going to louse it up. I like the life. It's going to be pleasant for you and it's going to be pleasant for me. We're going to reflect this by the way we perform. To me, we're more than a business organization. We're a family. We operate that way, and if there's anybody who wants to know for sure, I'm the father, the dad. That's the way I feel about it. And really, I sure want you to understand this. I'm not saying these things to you to brainwash you or psych you and all that kind of stuff that they talk about today. It's really how I feel about the game, and it's how we're going to operate. You can call it my philosophy or approach to football or whatever you bloomin' well want to call it. I probably should explain to you the relationship that I have with my co-investors, John Sawyer on down, sort of give you an idea of how we will work. By way of ownership and operating control, I am the fella you have to deal with. I have the stock. I cast the vote for our team. John is not a football man. He's an investor. He's a sportsman, enjoys it. But this is not his business in a way of any other way. And I came back into it under these conditions because I must control the factors that make or break me. I've been through this deal too long. So as I said, I'm the guy you got to deal with in the final analysis. I don't say this in the spirit of trying to overpower somebody or make a big man deal out of it. I really don't like to sound like a hard man, but you got to know from the beginning that there's just no way to circumvent these principles that we're standing on, the things I'm talking about. They put us in that final championship game of football at the end of the year 11 times in our lives, professional football. And you go figure out how many people have been through it that many times. We won a divisional championship in our third year of existence, so there's got to be some correct things in what we're doing and stand on the record. Now, as people, you're here. It's a long haul. I take the purposely start out in a slow way as we do here, like last night and this morning. I want you to know that we're not interested in people who just want a job and our money, just wants to make the final cut and then sits down on us. We call this a lunch bucket player. When you play here, we expect you to be all out, to be in the spirit of it, to be a high-class person, to play with a full heart, and have a pleasant time doing it. This leads to winning. I can tell you that we will be successful in proportion to the caliber of people you are. Invariably, if you look back at great teams, I won't use our own, I could use the old Cleveland Browns in the same way, but I run into so many of the New York Giants when they were a great team. The Giffords, the guys of this nature that I see as life goes on. They become successful people, they're sound. Winners, competitors are a special breed. Some people compete pretty well as long as things are going well, and then when adversity sets in, they seem to throw in the sponge and want to get up on the soapbox and tell about how they'd have done it instead of the way it was done. We have now reached the stage of selection of people after this is our sixth year. where we have phased them out. This business of competitiveness is a very real part of a great football player. The mentally dull are not great competitors. The kind that takes you right down to the ground on every play and gets ready for every game. That the last game just as tough as the first. A winner, a thoroughbred, an eventual champion. You guys will never know how important I considered that last game we played at Houston last year. It was important to us, important to you. You know what kind of people you are. We had nothing at stake except in the pride of winning. And we did the job thoroughly. And I've learned over the years that forever, every barfly and every chaser, every troublemaker, for every selfish, self-centered player, a man who has a wife not in the spirit of the team, for everyone of this type, and there are people who are unwilling to pay the price, our whole organization will suffer in its efforts to be a winner. It will reduce the number of games we'll win. Don't ask me why, but that's the way it turns out year after year. And I suppose I should explain to you what paying the price means to me. This is not a physical thing. I don't refer to you going out and getting a beating when I talk about paying the price. I'm talking about the mental aspects. I think it means getting yourself ready to play week after week. Get yourself prepared mentally is the mark of a real professional. After the game, you can forget about it from Sunday night. But when we start back out there Tuesday, start getting yourself ready. This is the mark of a professional. First principle of paying the price, staying in condition. Nobody here but knows the value of that. When you're lousy shaped physically, you are lousy mentally. You just aren't giving us or your team your best. And I don't want this just from when we're in camp. Each and every year we have a guy or two that seems to go downhill after we move back into the city. And we're gradually phasing them out. Think back, some of you guys. Gradually we move them, whether we get anything or not. This weeding out process becomes rather obvious. You just can't win with this kind of person. Not mad at them, you can't win with. We have our rules and our regulations. When we provide downtown hotel accommodation the night before a game, it's to provide relaxation, to get togetherness for us as a club. It's not a chance to get away from your wife or family. We sometimes go to a movie as a group. We're just really trying to be nice to you if we can find one that we think's worthy of seeing, and there aren't too many. If we have a curfew or a dinner regulation, it's for everybody's benefit, not the few that can't be bothered or want to think they have to be treated like an old pro. You know, the easy way for us, the things I'm talking to you about cost us money, because we do it because we think it helps. Easy thing for us would be to just give you some money and turn you loose, just to say performance tomorrow is the only thing. We try to carry it beyond that, because this is the only business I got, our coaches got, everything we got in our families, everything's riding and falling with it. We gotta protect it. I'm not asking you to do it for me personally. This is for your team. You've got to think and concentrate on football more than when you're on the field. You might notice that we don't have the outside interests or the business that interferes with our team here. I've known football teams and pro football where guys are trying to sell each other automobiles or insurance or stockbrokers or whatnot. That was the big a deal. No way. We're not interested in developing radio or TV commentators or automobile insurance salesmen or anything else while the season's in progress. The off season will help you. It's a pleasure to help you get a job and see you make good. But while the football's in session, we're paying you for your full time. We pay you to practice, to know our plans, to pay strict attention in all meetings. If I'm ever talking to you and I see somebody's eyes, and I've stood up here so long that you get used to this, if I see anybody's eyes start going down, I won't go down long. Football careers are ended mentally, not physically. Most of the good ones I've known, they can't stay up to it mentally. And you've got to enjoy the life that is pro football. And you just don't fool anybody if you don't. If you aren't this style, if it didn't mean this much to you, we'll just have to get rid of you, and it'll probably shock you at how well the sport will go on without you. Now, these are the kind of things I'm thinking of, the mental things, when I speak of paying the price. Really, the price you pay mentally is more of a determining factor in your salary negotiations than almost any other single factor. Sort of reflects the kind of a person you are, indicates your character. And I might say, in the long existence you all have ahead of you, going to be the same way. You might say we're sort of trying to perform a service by making you conscious of these things and demanding that you be this high grade kind of person. I've been in it. This is the 40th year, I think. It's a long time. And I see all kinds of people and all types of players. Seen the kind that needs a crutch to fall back on if he isn't doing well, the chronic pulled muscle guy, the tender bruise who's always hurt, the lunch bucket guy I referred to, kind that just does enough to get by but never anything beyond it. Then there's the selfish kind, and as far as I'm concerned, this fellow is the worst person of them all. That self-centered guy that doesn't know the rest of the world exists. I followed some of these fellows. I've had in the course of my time a guy that was all pro many times. Most selfish guy, football player, even with his family, I ever knew. Left, big deal. Building shopping centers was going to make so much money that you wouldn't know what to do with it. That guy right today, and he was smart. He was a great player. I'm not going to name him. He's down and out. This is about 10 or 15 years later. Flat in his can. Lost what he got into. You never get anywhere when you're this kind of a guy. You aren't this way just to us. You're this way all the way through your life with everybody you touch. A selfish guy. Can't think about the team. Can't think about problems of management. I've said this, and you've all heard me. Anybody who can't think a little bit of management never makes much of a living. So many of them, they might make a lot of money, and then they end up losing it, or they have all kinds of unhappinesses in their life. I've just watched it, and they were great players, real great, some of them. But I couldn't sell them the idea of what their character meant to them. So much for that. As of now, you know you're in training for the team. I'd like to have us continue to look like a happy bunch in the way we go after our opponents. I've been rather flattered at times when people have brought it to my attention that we look like a young, exuberant, go-getting outfit. I want it to continue. For the basis of our rules, really, it's just what's right or wrong for the team, and you know as well as I do, it's silly for you to work out and then throw it away through dissipation. Now, this isn't a moral question with me. I'm not moralizing with you because that's beyond me. We're interested in your performance, what you give to us. We think we've earned it by paying you for it. I can add that it's best for you personally. Chance to feel real good, wonderful for your body. When your body's great, you're great mentally. You'll find that when you leave here after these 5 or 6 weeks that we're here, that you'll feel about as good as you feel at any time in the year. Has to be. If you break the rules, regardless of who you are, I'll meet the issue. can be by fines or suspension. You can ruin your career. In fact, you can ruin your whole life starting with it. You'll always have a personal public image in this business. It doesn't take me too long to recognize the tramp or the boozer, the married guy with the girlfriend, or the cocktail habitué, the guy with the dark glasses on the morning after. Any of the many things that tell me this story, I get to know you all. I've had more derelicts in the course of my life than you can shake a stick at. I've watched them come and go. I've watched them wreck themselves, and I've watched them go on to become great, successful people, some of them. All varieties, really. In 40 years, you're bound to. And we study you. If you hurt the image of the team, we'll have to deal with it. We're a young team, newest one in football, but we're not an expansion team, not in 6 years. And you're going to be raised with class. If I'm not doing it, it's so arranged that it'll pass right down our family line for 10 years that we will keep it this way. I don't want to appear naive to you and have you think that I don't know that you as guys and players following a game don't get together and have your fun. It's all right. You have to use judgment. If you're in your homes with your other couples, and I'm not against a good time or relaxation. But then when you come back that next Tuesday and we start gradually working into it, then get your physical and mental concentration up for it. And as you know and I know, this isn't done in bars or cocktail lounges. You're never going to hide indiscretions from me or us, because wherever you go, everybody knows you as a pro football player, and pretty soon Wyatt gets back to us. As for smoking, I ask you not to do it for your own good. I know it's a difficult thing to stop. I've never smoked. I don't know it like you. Probably some of you know it. But I'd suggest to you, give it a try. People are dying of this thing. All of a sudden, when you got to have part of your lung removed or something of that sort, you're going to give yourself a little talk. I like to see athletes, not guys that run out of gas after they run a little bit. I don't think anybody here would deny it, but what, it's stupid to smoke. If you have to do it, I ask you not to do it where it will hurt your image with young boys, kids, when you walk out of dressing rooms and they're waiting to see what you look like. You're a big deal to these little fellas. There's no smoking in our meeting rooms, our dressing rooms, our locker rooms, or our dining room. You just get fined if it comes to my attention. You'll be all getting into homes and apartments to rent, live with some class. Especially if you're a single guy. If you're one of these love nest people, it come back to me too. And it might take us a little while to meet it, but eventually we'll meet the issue. Live with some class. I guess that's all I'm trying to say to you. I realize you're human. When we leave here and go back to Cincinnati, and you may have made the team, get your wife there, your children. If she's smart, she'll be there. I've observed the guys that want to send them home in the middle of the year and get around and things of that sort, the chasers. I've known some, I think probably the worst kind, are the kind that give speeches about their wife and their family, you know, how wonderful they are, and then when you find out that they're really got a girlfriend on the side, what a letdown. These are the, I can stand the guys better who are more honest than I can the Fauntleroys by day and the Skid Rows by night, and I've had them. Sometimes you might not understand why people get moved. They don't fool anybody. What it really comes to is this hurts a guy's performance because he's not right from within. You're not right from within, it's tough to do a good job. don't have the gals come here at Wilmington, except in, go if they're to bring in out your laundry or come out for the scrimmage game or some little thing like this. I understand this, but just don't impose on it. The main point of going to camp is to get into the spirit as a group of men to be with the team. And be sure we keep the, you're in charge of your wives insofar as the gossipy, over ambitious, fault-finding type are concerned. If you marry a tramp, you'll go downhill fast, and we'll just have to get rid of you just as fast. Some of you guys who've been here for a while can understand how this is met. I've had to do it. Above all, be honest when you talk with your wife. It takes a lot of guy at home to, when he isn't playing regularly or doing too well, to not to blame somebody, be it somebody up front or somebody in the defense or the coaching staff or something. You're a professional. Act like it. Tell them you're sorry you didn't do better. You wished you could do it again. When somebody is that way with you, you can't get mad at them. I mean, it's an honest thing. Now, you're going to be, as we go along here, dealing with the press. Our writer for the Inquirer came in late here. This is Dick Forbes. Stand up, Dick, so they all know who you are. Dick has written our football from the beginning for the morning paper. In dealing with these people, I want you to be friendly, cooperative with them, use judgment. You know better than anybody when you're popping off or saying something that will estrange your teammate or your coach or yours truly. Consider the morale of your team when you talk. So vital, because it helps us to become a winner if you talk in the spirit of things. Anything that you say that hurts us is just out of line. That windy, mouthy guy that gets a quick column, a quick attention, usually ends up the next day by saying, well, they misquoted me, or they denying he said it. And these people have lived a long time with athletes. They aren't going to misquote you. They aren't going to take you apart. They mean right. And we need coverage. This is part of our world, part of our business. Again, I can say to you, the key to the whole thing is intelligence. Invariably, the people doing most of the popping off are the dough. The low intelligence. They get suckered into talking that way. They think that way. I would warn you, especially in your post-game comments. We have to play these guys again. Maybe not this year, but the next year. Some of them never get over it. Don't give them a chance to work you over. Just use your head. You might even be trying to make that coach's team someday that you blasted. Do you hear me? You might have to come back. It's one of these things that just use your head. Your contracts are all different. Once they're signed, chop it off. It's forgotten. Fulfill it. As an organization, we hold nothing against you that took place during the negotiations. Mike does most of our negotiating. I know we're together on it, so you're just talking to me when you're talking to him. And once it's over, you don't hold anything. We don't. It's forgotten. Keep your business to yourself. I've noticed over the years that the bigger timer the guy is, the more he comes under the category of being an outstanding player, the less he talks in a contractual way. It's a sign of a big timer. I emphasize that you're paid to practice, to be on our special teams, to help us in any way you can. I like that guy that wants to get on something to try to help. A lot of you have done this with us. It helps us to have that attitude. Just never indicate that you can't or don't want to do something of this sort. And when you give up or sort of quit because you aren't starting, when you feel we have to cut you or trade you because of this. You're just really sort of revealing the kind of person, the character you are. It's a character defect to give up. Whenever you're cut, the other teams want to know why. It goes all over football league. Everybody, if you're traded even, they're all interested in why. Sometimes it isn't anything bad at all. But many times they just want to, they have a reason. Everybody in the league wants to know. If you decide to play out your option, I say to you, you have the legal right to do so, and we respect it. We hope you sign. We think it's better for you and overall for our team, but if you don't, I respect your right not to do it. I, however, want to make this point clear. It should make, and it will make no difference in our football relationship. If you play it out, handle it like a man. We don't want any pouting or silence and change of character or personality just because you're doing this. And I'm going to have to suggest to you that you try for a super season. Because if you get hurt or you don't do well, you have hurt yourself tremendously. Always figure out what it would cost you. Take the fact that automatic 10% less if you play it out, and add that to what we offered you as an advance or raise, and see what the how it figures to you, and then take your income tax into consideration. What we really are saying here to you, we've thought a lot about what we offer you. We're trying to keep it square as an organization where some star isn't paid out of proportion to somebody else. Offense can't move the ball if the defense doesn't get it for them. People might not see or hear about certain positions as much as others. I don't think they ever know, as we've said, Bob, that the center's down there. He's there, but we don't go anywhere if he can't do the job. But we've got to have it to where we respect all spots and try to make it with sense, where we don't have somebody out of line and then the whole thing begins to wobble around. If we can't make sense to you, however, and you elect to play it out, no hard feelings. Just handle it like a man, and we'll try to do the same. To sum it up, I'm trying to tell you what we want from you as players. Turn out, try to earn your belief in me and in our football. Whenever we go along here, you'll note that I always try to start out many times. You have the opening things in your book. It says why first. We try to explain to you why we ask you to do them, why we say them. That takes us to the halfway point in this thing. And I guess the latter part of it isn't quite as long as this. But just be sure of one thing. I want to emphasize this again. I'm not trying to con you. I'm at a stage of life where I have no reason to be doing that kind of thing. I mean what I'm saying to you sincerely, and think about it. And when you come back here in 10 minutes, why we'll start on the practice plans and the organizational ideas of it, and a lot of the things that I've talked about so far come from within. Okay, see you in 10 minutes right here. And everybody's time, everybody's feelings, you're all equal. We go to breakfast between 7 and 8. If you can't eat breakfast, it bothers you, tell me, so that I we have a guy over there who checks you through. John Cooper was doing it this morning. I will know. We want you to eat with us. Now, if you have a problem that you can't, just tell me. Lunch, 12 to 12:30. Dinner, 6 to 6:30. Some of you have been going over a little early, and that doesn't bother us a bit. Just spaces it out. I wouldn't get it too early. But we have a contract with these people. You might notice that those little old gals over there, the same ones, been here every year we've been here. They're sweet, nice people, really. They grow to like you, and I want them to keep on that kind of a relationship. They really look forward to us being here. Be at the meal unless you're excused. Nobody's too big time to eat with the rest of us. Fine is 50 if you're not here. I'd suggest at noon that you eat lightly. Most of the guys eat at noon and take a rest before they go out in the afternoon. Just don't overeat at noon. Wear sports shirts to our dining hall. I just don't want the, we don't want any butches around here. Just we're class people. Shorts are in order. Keep the meals pleasant. But one thing, I'm going to suggest something to you. Don't try to see how quickly you can eat and run. Learn to enjoy eating with your teammates. Sit down in different places. Get to know all your guys. You know, the tendency is to just sort of get to know certain people, and you get to liking them, and you just by nature gravitate there. It isn't that you mean anything. I'm suggesting move around and get to know all your guys. It's a fun thing to do, really. And take your time, and let's be what we call pleasant diners. Every once in a while, of course, I usually walk through there, and I can remember going through there last year where we had one guy that would take three or four steaks and then eat a little nibble off each one of them. They'd be stacked up there. This is ridiculous. Eat what you take. And it's gross not to be able to use the food you take. This is just common horse sense. You know, when you're the father in your home and you got a kid, just stop and think. That boy of yours stacks three or four steaks up and takes a bite out of each one. You're buying them. What are you thinking? It doesn't make sense. You'll get over that in a hurry. You're going to find out that the good parent has the children take what they want and they eat it. And I'm not trying to be a parent in this eating. I'm just trying to have you enjoy dining with one another. It's a nice way of life. I think the older you get, the more you like to dine leisurely and enjoy it. And when we go back on our way to and from, let's not see grapes and peach pits and banana peelings and things like this. This is a high-grade place here. We want it to be this way. I guess the main thing here is just consideration of others. The higher the intelligence, the more this kind of class shows up. Now, as to Tom Gray, Tom is no clubhouse boy or no lackey to anybody. Believe me, he represents us, management. We pay him. You don't give him anything. When he asks you to do things, it's just like one of the coaches asking you to do it. He is our man. He runs his show. Watch your language down there. It's the same as where these young kids come in. In my case, I'm going to have grandson or so here in the course of time, come or go. Bill will have one of the kids here at times. And these are things that we want them to be around high-grade people and to look up to you. Don't steal our equipment. If you need a football, if you need anything, just ask me and I'll give it to you. I think I told you guys last year about the great big butch I had one time and came back and off-season came up to the office. Geez, he was dressed up and he was about that wide across the top. $700 suit and all real beautiful, you know, and he crossed his feet and the damn socks he's got on were white and said CB on it, Cleveland Brown. That sort of told me a little something, you know. This is a real big timer up to that point. As I said, wear your own clothes. We don't furnish your streetwear. This isn't a college team. Now as to cards, we're not a card club. We're here to work on our football. Particularly rookies should never get in a card game. They got it to learn. Usually that rookie that comes along and wants to be a big card man lasts up maybe two or three weeks. Really where the trouble with cards starts is when you go on a road and a lot of time in our hands. I'm saying to you, keep your card playing in the category of fun or it's out of bounds. With that, I don't mean you can't play a bridge game or a gin game or that kind of thing for real small things. I play gin, bridge, probably play as well as some of you. I probably could afford to play it for about as much as any of you. And I try to keep it within reason because it isn't fun to me if it gets out. Really, I didn't. I play those golf games, you know, or some of those old curmudgeons that might be worth $50 million, just fight like a son of a gun with a dollar four ways. It's the spirit of the thing. It's the fun. It isn't. Nobody wants the money. If you start getting to the point where you're trying to make money off your teammates, you've missed the boat in this thing. And particularly if it's something like a poker game. I've had guys on the airplane one time years ago when I was with the Browns. Some guy went for $400 or $500 going somewhere. I said his wife was going to divorce him when we get home. It caused a lot of trouble. I had to step in on it. And you always get these guys that like to arrange the big card game. We've had them here with our team. When we started out, we had everything there was to have. The procurer, the party boy, you know, the happy guy. And we just have to get rid of you. I known one that's been unhappy ever since we did it. Told me so. We traded him. And hasn't still hanging on, I guess, not too successfully. You just have to know that whenever you're traded or moved, everybody wants to know why. Nobody wants to take on a problem. One time I had a manager tell me in pro football that he couldn't afford to take a player from us. This is a couple of years ago. He said he couldn't sell it to the public because we were a new team. Trips to Columbus or Dayton, Cincinnati around here, cities like that, are out of bounds without permission. Downtown Wilmington is our little town. It's okay for an occasional movie or haircuts, shopping, and so forth. You're going to find, though, you're going to be busy. Your free time here in camp, I live with what you're trying to make go. Write your letters, work hard, get your sleep. Inwardly, you go all out, you feel great, mentally and physically, then you have no regrets about how you do, how your outcome. It's the only way to enter into it. If you have friends or relatives come to Wilmington to watch you practice, tell them they must eat uptown. I cite the Denver House as one place. It's a delightful place to eat. I come over there in the off-season sometimes to eat. It's very, very fine. Country food, good. When we're on the road, don't bring people in to eat with us. Our meals are closed. We have no obligation to feed your friends and relatives. And at our dorm here, don't ever allow anybody upstairs. If you ever see anybody, get them out of there. We've had kleptos, stealers of books, everything you can think of, it'll try. Last year, we had a group of people move in the other half of the dorm, and we began to have some problems. I had to get them out. Protect yourselves, but nobody's upstairs except you guys. When you leave, shut your door. Don't leave your car unlocked. You never know. And if you leave, I've had guys leave their golf clubs and stuff in the car, and then somebody breaks in. See, remember, we'll be going on a trip and coming back. A lot of these things are here for the predators. Don't go having your girlfriends or whatnot at the Denver House or some of these motels in the vicinity, because we've talked it over with them. Also, we have a meeting annually with the local hotels, restaurant lounges, all that kind of stuff, people, to get their cooperation. We'll know. Some of these people used to have guys always, you know, we're looking for air-conditioned place to cool off afterwards. That was an old chestnut, you know, after practice. We are aware. As for the Player Association, I want to keep it above table with us at all times. The only thing that I insist upon is that something of this nature does not ever drive a wedge between us, between you and me, between you and your coaches, and hurt our team. Pat's the player representative, right, Pat? Yet. Pat's free to talk to me at any time about anything. As I said to him, a year ago. If he wants a union meeting, he's welcome to do it. Just go hire yourself a hall and have it. It's not our responsibility here. But don't let it interfere with our football. When that becomes more important than your team and its success, then you lose out quickly. And I would cite this to you. Don't ever lose sight of the people that are paying you. And as I've said, you've got to be able to have some realization of the problem of management. If you go into coaching a pro football, you'll be surprised how quickly your perspective and some things will change. Just like some of the coaches that I have here with me who used to play. Vince, Chuck Weber, for example. You get to see it from the standpoint of coaches as well as, and management as well as the other. Don't make us the enemy. We don't think of that in terms of you. Think ahead. Whenever you guys are asked to sign something about issues, inquire. Pat, I suggest to you that as the player representative, that you have the obligation to keep your guys informed on the aspects of an issue. To tell them if something comes in that you don't like, I'd say you still have the obligation of talking it over with them. I couldn't help but be impressed about the way that some of the Reds players talked after they had their strike and problems a couple of years ago about what they didn't know about what the so-called player representative didn't say to them. Do you remember this? It was in the papers. Their business is none of my business, and I don't want this to be brought up in the papers or anything, but I'm just saying to you that you have the obligation to keep your people abreast of it. So many times you read things that the player union says this or that, and the only people who are saying it are the two or three people running the show and the guy trying to guide them. Keep your football structure sound. May I suggest you protect that pension system you've got. It's the best that I know of. Protect it. It's nothing if the structure begins to fail, if it isn't sound. If the football doesn't make money for the investors, if it is not successful, it hurts the structure of it. Believe me, these people are not going to be like some of the people that are in some sports today where they just lose their shirt. I mean, where you have a, I read about some of these other sports teams starting out new leagues where they almost sounded like they were bragging about who lost the most. These kind of people are not in the football world because they don't have to be. It's been a sound thing, and we're not about to go that route. You have to know it. You have a paper called The Audible. The man, your lawyer, is a professional labor man, and at our owners' meeting, he told us, acknowledged to us, that he wrote it. Understand it. Make up your own mind. I'm trying to have you do some thinking. Judgment of your own. There's a league rule against fraternizing on the field before or after a game. When we go to a place to get have a game with somebody, I don't want to see a whole bunch of guys meeting you there from the other team. I say this because so many times in my life we go out the next day and then try to knock your can off and kill you, but in the day before they're buddy. You just tell them that I don't like it, and they could see you after the game is over. When you dress, you'll meet them and talk with them then. It just isn't a healthy thing. The league frowns on it, and I'm saying it to you now. There'll be a representative from the league office come here on the problem of the gambling things that you must guard against. See, I'm trying to guard, we are trying to guard our sport to keep it sound. And anything that could be mis- misconstrued and link you up with a possible gambling interest, a scandal that could wreck your life, wreck your family. As long as I live, and again, this is not for the newspaper, I'll never forget Lou Groza when his brother got involved and down at the University of Kentucky. Just broke right down and cried. It's a shame. And these are mistakes that people can get involved in. And it would hurt the franchise to boot. Be careful of people who try to do nice things for you and you can't understand why. Be wary of these kind of strangers, something that want to give you something for nothing. All these so-called people want to do is be seen with you, give other people the impression they know you. Then, really, the next step then is that's when the point spreads begin to fluctuate. If you are suspicious of somebody, if you don't like something you see or the way things are brought up to you, tell me, I'll call Pete Rozelle just like that, and you will be in the clear because you have reported it, and we can then go from there. Protect yourself, your wife, your children, because if anything like this would happen to any of you, and it could actually take place, and you might just be suckered or not know that it was going on, it would be a disaster to you and your family. All right, now I am directed by the Commissioner of Football to talk to you, as I am now, about this drug thing that we've all been reading about. Dr. Ballou will lecture to you later on the technical medical side of it. I'm simply telling you how the National League is entering the picture and how we are cooperating. As an organization, from this point onward, we must submit a duplicate of every invoice we have of anything we buy to the league office, to a man hired as an arm of the league who studies what we buy as an organization. This doesn't bother us one iota because we've never dispensed illegal things to our football players. The league suggested that we, as people involved here in protection of our own franchise, have the police department come over to our office and demonstrate to us the smell of marijuana. Show us, explain what uppers and downers or whatever they call these greens and blues and the problems that go with them, so that we're going to recognize this kind of thing insofar as our players are concerned if we see it. I am not to go into the moral aspect of marijuana because I don't know anything about it, and I really don't know. I'm talking about it in terms of our football. I do know this. The police showed us it is a felony in the state of Ohio. 1 year in prison and $1,000 fine. This is then on your permanent record for life. And the average American person, you are known as a drug user. It takes away any chance you might ever have to be a lawyer or a doctor or whatever, whatnot, if you're on the docket in this way. If you're guilty of selling marijuana, it's 20 to 40 years imprisonment in the state of Ohio, believe it or not. These are just simple facts which the police department brought out to us, and I want you to know it's a felony. Now, as to our procedure with the league, if we have any suspicions, and this goes to the point of, and I brought this up at the meeting, supposing we receive a letter about some guys that are in what they call a pot party, I guess, things of that sort, it's our automatic duty, just like you have to report gambling to me, possibilities, we have to report to the commissioner what we know, send the letter, send the correspondence. You then are under surveillance as a suspect by one of the stringers here under the guy that operates in our area. Besides the law of the land, you're now jeopardizing your career. What sanction the league office uses is up to them. I presume it would come under the heading of conduct detrimental to football. You're toying then with your career. These are the basic facts, which I have to leave with you. The rest is up to Dr. Ballou and the doctors. I think one thing most people don't think about here, but you might think about, when you do this kind of thing, you're hurting your team, your teammates. You got your hand in my pocket, somebody else's pocket, because everybody's salary basically ends up in the overall, on the basis of the overall team record. It's a proven thing that this kind of stuff hurts your performance. And I'd suggest that the leaders here, anybody here, if you sense this kind of thing, step in on it and try to give your teammates some help. That's all I have to say on this subject. When we travel together. I go with you myself. We make our travel arrangements top-notch, and we hope you appreciate it. If you don't go with us or do not return with us, there are the fines I spoke of yesterday. I'm particularly familiar with that guy that wants to stay over and not come home with the team and have some reason for doing it. You have to have my permission to do this. I will know if you're staying over for an Ed Sullivan show or all the kind of things that are used to do this kind of thing. And the night before games, be particularly careful that no visitors get into your hotel rooms. Gladhanders, relatives, gamblers, prostitutes, fairies, these people just predators. We go to a place to play football, and it's a serious proposition. And you'd be shocked if you were on the coaching staff and knew how we study you. It's easy to detect a hustler. I said to you before, this isn't just strictly a moral thing with us. Really, it isn't a moral thing. We want our money's worth, your effort, and we've got the right to it. Your dedication the night before a football game shows us a great deal about your sincerity. All right, now we're on the practice field. Nobody ever plays catch or talks to people along the sideline, be it newspaper guys or anybody. You give strict attention to your coach and the group he's working with, your group. You're never excused from learning. If you're injured, stay with that group. Mentally absorb everything you can. Observe. Stay right with them unless Marvin tells you otherwise. The spirit of our game is to get back into shape as soon as you can. If we get the idea that you're taking an extra time, so because, well, you might say to yourself, well, here's another guy getting paid to do the same job I'm doing. This guy, to the administrators of football, is what we call a dog. We don't have them. I don't think we got any, and I guarantee you we're not going to keep them. In the final analysis, by league rule, our team physician decides whether or not a player can play. I do not do this as a coach in the final analysis. It's a rule of our league. The men involved in our kicking game, now I'm talking to Horst and Dave and the two Daves, Ken Duncan, we want you to be able to defend and help us if there is some kind of a misfortune on the field. I'm talking about a block kick or some such thing. Take constant work in your routine warm-ups and things of this sort. I'm talking to quarterbacks, so that if you throw an interception, you can make a tackle and grab the guy and hang on without thinking it's going to break you in two. Shucks, we got guys up front. We got linebackers taking them every day, every time, and stopping them for you. And when we get some tender person like this, I take a dim view of it. You can work at this kind of a thing. And this business of we can't write it off if you don't know the game or if you're this kind of a specialist. Our kicking games, punting and place kicking both, I'd have to say cost us a game or two or three. I don't know how many last year. There's just no excuse for it. In the days of the kind of ridiculous error that you saw happen at Miami, when that guy threw the ball up in the air for grabs, this is ridiculous, and I'm not going to accept it. I would like to suggest that you not get suckered into signing a contract with anybody to make speeches. There's no good reason for you to pay anybody a percentage of what you get just because they supposedly get you speeches. Tough part of that is that one guy always gets them all, and the rest of you don't. It's harmful to our club, and I told you this a year ago. We had a guy who was asking more money for one of our guys as a speaker than they were getting for Neil Armstrong or the governor, and this is ridiculous. Ended up that other people from other sports took it over. I probably give you the idea here. I don't respect the predators or the parasites who try to live off of somebody else's efforts. Really, Al Haim is in charge of this phase of things, and he'll try to keep it with reason and judgment. Now, the thing that I want you to see from each of your individual coaches is the way we grade you out, your performance of last year. We will be grading you during the preseason as well as the regular season, grading to know for sure. It's easy to think somebody's doing a heck of a job, and then you get the pictures and you find some guy that you hadn't thought much about is doing better than the guy you thought was doing a heck of a job. This is important to us. It's detailed scientific study. The pictures never lie. And it's honest, and we want you to know this. We're getting close. I always had the feeling that offensively we had to have everybody over 80% in order to have a championship caliber of an offensive unit. And we're just about getting there now. We're awful close to the 80 with some of them, just barely. But once we get to the point where people at these positions, the error is cut down to where it's only 10, 12% that they ever get whipped, now we got a football team that moves that ball. Same thing works defensively, and the coaches will show you. Really, we base a lot of our contract thinking in terms of how not only, well only does the team do, but how you look in the statistical study. I'll say this to you. If you're a veteran, you show up with some agent, some two-bit hustler who thinks he's going to make words to us about what we're going to pay you. And some of these guys don't know whether the ball is blown up or stuffed. I'm saying to you this. We can take out the statistics. We can show you what you did. And we can give you the reasons. And we hope we have to have your heart. We have to have you think we're a reasonable square deal. I know darn well that I don't want a football player that just can't think that we're not trying to use them or exploit them or take them apart in some way. We're not. But when this kind of a guy comes with you, and it doesn't happen much anymore, the players are catching up to these people. I go back to when I had some of you remember him, a defensive end come in. He didn't do any talking. This guy did all the talking. He's telling us what we're going to pay him and all this kind of stuff. Traded him. Didn't make it where he went. Barely eaten today. This isn't a bad job, really. And this wasn't just because he was hanging on. We thought we were working hard to keep him as a fringe player, to have him come on. We're not trying to cheat him or cheat you either. So just use a little bit of judgment. If you carry the basic part of the load, if you do an outstanding job, I want to reward you to the point that you got it coming. And if you hurt us, if you cost us games, if you do things that you can clean up and clear up, do better, and you do better the next time, then you got it coming again. I should say this, that your contract is negotiated in terms of the service, what you did last year. So many times we get a guy that tells us, oh boy, I'm going to have a great year, and then that's supposed to, That isn't the way this thing works. It's how well you did the last year, how much you helped us win or lose. There are no fakers in this business. Your work on special teams is very important to us. There are people in here that I wouldn't give up just because of that very thing. It's vital to us. That brings me to the plan of the squad. The league limit is 40 men for any given game. However, there are some changes now. We're again allowed to have 7 men on the so-called cab contract, under cab contract or control. But here's the difference. We are now allowed, prior to the first game, final cutdowns, to put 3 of you on what we can construe as injured. Comes down to one thing. We can keep 3 extra men. We do not have to justify or make any written report or anything of the sort to the league office. Anybody that's got a sore toenail, I guess, qualifies as one of the 3. It really is, that's what it comes to. Here's the basis on which it was done. I'm on the so-called Rules Competition Committee, and we found out that there got to be a lot of ill feeling in the league on the waived injured process. Certain teams could waive players injured and nobody'd claim them. And then certain other teams would waive a player injured and they'd get claimed right away and then everybody's mad. I give you some illustrations. I think San Francisco waved through Jimmy Johnson and that fullback, what's his name? Willard and the Hardeman, these kind of guys, and they had legitimate injuries, but they were back in time to play the season. Same thing that you've seen everywhere. We, by contrast, we didn't claim them. They were in the other half of the league. And not that that should be the only reason we shouldn't, but we just never messed with it over there. But in our own half, when people like Bubba Smith or McKay in Cleveland came up, we made the claim. We weren't trying to hurt anybody, but we just thought that it wouldn't bother us if we got Bubba Smith repaired after a year and had him around, see? Pretty good player. And McKay ended up playing both games against us. But see, people are wounded. Their feelings are hurt because you claim their players. So the rule has been changed. Now, when we waive one of you guys injured, if somebody claims you, we lose you. And they have to take you. There is no longer any period of when you can waive a player injured and still recall them. No longer can recall. But because the average number of players who were touched up and might miss the first few games was around 3, each team is given 3 to put in that category. It was in the interest of the competitive equality of the thing so that some of these teams have a mad on for one another, if you know what I mean. it's got to be a little touchy and testy. And so rather than have this kind of thing, this is the plan of the squad. So that means that we will have 7 people, like we always do, in our extra squad. Now, don't look down your nose if you're on the so-called cab squad. I think the word there should be developmental. If you're on this thing, it's because we think you have future potential. There are lots of guys playing here right now who started out that way with us, and we respect them. Now, if you get cut, another thing. The day before the game, by 2:00, we can designate any 40 of you that we want to play of the 47. No more are these moves and all that kind of stuff. We can put the 40 best able bodies out there, which is a change too. If you're not there and in a working position, you cannot be down in the sidelines, which I explained to you yesterday. Now, if you get cut, get packed, prepare to leave camp immediately. We'll have your transportation check. We'll try to help help you to the airport. Before leaving, you have to go through a checklist with our camp manager or one of the coaches before you can get your transportation check. And these are not only our rules, they come from the league. Waivers will be asked immediately on you, and the teams claiming you will be advised to contact you at your home address and the telephone number you leave with us as you go. Now, let me tell you something. Of all the things that are in football, the lousiest thing that any of us coaches have to do is to tell you that we don't think you can make it. Could be that you can't make it here, but you can make it somewhere else. Everybody has different strengths and weaknesses on their team. So give yourself a chance to hear from people, and if we think your best interest would be served by, somebody says to you, we think you ought to go to work, believe me, there's nothing wrong with that either. And that's just about what it comes to. That will probably just shock some people to death to think about going to work, but there's nothing wrong with it. And we're not mad at you. It's something we hope you don't hold, but we have to make the decision. And there are coaches here who have been through it. I had a laugh at Don Shula. I presented him in New York to the writers thing. He'd asked me to do it, talking about all his frustrations and all. Of course, they get to Eubank, who's seated down there, and of course, he had to explain to him. He says, you know, Weeb, you cut me once. It's a funny thing. What he didn't say was that I traded Don to Baltimore when I got Mike McCormick and Colo. And so you see, these are things that are part of the game. And you might have a guy for several years and he might turn around and go somewhere else and play in a championship game. You might talk to Sam Weich and see how he felt about what happened to him. He wanted financial advice from his old friends on how to spend that Super Bowl check. In a jesting sort of a way, he's really an engaging personality. But in his fun way, he had to let us know he got it, see? And I don't resent this. And I hope that if you're cut or if you aren't here, that you handle it like a grown-up, and I'll do my best at my end of it. All right, just a couple of incidentals, and then we're finished. Daily papers are available to you. They're on the first floor as you go out for breakfast. You can help yourself. You can cash checks at the college business office, which is on College Street. Some of you rookies ask the old guys where to go. There are paid telephones on the floors. Don't come down on the first floor or anything like that, and stay out of our public relations room and all the first floor rooms. I explained to you that we're cutting down the ring on the phones at 10:30, and any emergency calls will come through we have an office phone. I have a guy manning an office phone for us, if not to me, so that we will reach you. Incoming mail, you pick up all your mail, really you do at the post office, and that as you go over to the dining hall there in the first floor. I'd mail my outgoing mail there too if I were you. Your personal laundry, your dry cleaning are your responsibility. Keep your bills paid with cash so that if you leave suddenly, you are not in bad position. Park your cars anywhere in the lots around here, but don't leave valuables or anything in them of consequence. You can give your season ticket orders to Al Heim. The club furnishes each player 2 for the home games, both regular and preseason. That is the rule. Now, be sure you don't, as you get started here, get blisters, or if you've got a pulled muscle, I don't want you to run the sprint this afternoon. Handle it as soon as you know. I'm sure we probably get a guy or two that's halfway afraid to run that 40 for fear he won't look good enough to stay from a speed standpoint. This isn't everything. I've had great running backs that were not, might even be 4.8 in a 40. I've had a lot of great linemen who were anything but, they could go maybe 10 yards or 15 with the part that really counts. They weren't the distance runners. These are things that are all relative, and we know this. keep using your salt pills and drinks that Marvin gives you. You know, anybody having heat problems out there. If there are any medical problems unrelated to our football, you're on your own. If your family's ill, the doctor told you yesterday how to pursue it. It's really a problem these days to get a doctor, but George will get you one, I'm sure, just as he said. But if it's family, well, you pay them. Pay your bills. Run your own family medical show. When you come over here, do not wear your football shoes. These people try to keep this clean. There's a lady that keeps it sparkling clean as you see it is, and we want to cooperate with her. Wear football shoes, regular shoes, because this is not artificial turf. As you can see, in conclusion, I've thought about everything I've said here a lot. A lot of these things I've talked over with the coaches, so I can back them up with you. I believe in everything I've said. I've learned that rules and regulations over a span of time help us win. And as I said originally, I want to enjoy being with you. I guarantee you this, I'm secure enough in my work, I'm not about to run myself off, that I can demand the things that I'm asking of you. But by the same token, I want you to enjoy being with us. I'd sort of like to have you be able to say, if you're here in years to come, that it was a pleasant experience. Everything you do from now on is going to have a bearing on making it, helping us make up our minds. Your general person, your conduct, your previous record, your attitude, how you take your warm-up routine, your calisthenics, how you take coaching, and of course, above all and most important, how you block and tackle. Enter into the tryout spirit and the spirit of this tryout period and the spirit of the occasion. It'll be tough, but be friends with the guys you're competing with. One kind of guy we always get a certain number of every year is the fellow that figures out, oh boy, there's three people too many at this position. They can only keep this. I'm in this kind of a predicament and all. Divorce this kind of thing from your mind. Just say to yourself, I'm going to do the best I can do, and it'll handle itself. If you're good enough, there'll be a place found for you somewhere. Don't do our thinking for us. Just concentrate on the job, and you'll never have any regrets. And I wish us all well. Our next meeting will be here at 1:30, at which time you'll be in your football suits, and we'll go on the field for exergeny explanation at that time. You're dismissed.